Okay, welcome everybody to another Tuesday afternoon on Shaken Awake Radio. And I'm also on PSN Radio, EPGN Radio, and SoFlo Radio. And this is a special taping. It's not going to be live, but everybody will hear it live. And hopefully someday we can do something live together. But I want to welcome my guest is John Cruxton of the National Liberty Alliance. He's just a member and he wants to motivate people. So welcome to the show, John.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
Yeah, very good. I know a little bit about National Liberty Alliance, but I know a lot of people probably don't know what it is. Can you explain a little bit of what it is and what you're trying to do, maybe?
Well, thank you. Yeah, my understanding, and I know a little bit about it, but not a whole lot more. It was founded by a couple guys in New York. Originally, it was called Liberty Alliance, and then as they expanded out and they got more listeners and more people, it became the National Liberty Alliance. I believe it was about 15 years ago, 16 years ago. A guy named John Duresh is one of the principals on the thing. And he's still pretty much the one that runs everything over there. But they were, just like all of us, they were looking for answers. And I know they went to court. They were doing some different things, working like on the state nationals kind of thing. They were doing a bunch of different things. Found out what worked, what didn't work. Basically, they're working to reestablish the common law, and that's what the United States was originally founded on. And it's been ignored in the courts since 1938, more or less totally since that time. But that's what they're working on, is to reestablish the common law and the rule by the people. In the United States, through the Declaration of Independence, we have governed by consent, which is us. We're the people. We wrote the Constitution, and the Constitution is based on the common law. If you think of the common law as common sense, which is pretty uncommon nowadays, but it's written in the hearts of people. It's not written down anywhere, but it's what you believe. It's what you know in your heart. For instance, the Ten Commandments, you know, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie. All those things are the common law principles, and that's unfortunately pretty much ignored nowadays by the courts. But that's what they did, and what we're working on specifically now is what they call committees of safety. Now, committees of safety, that was something they had before the Revolutionary War, about 250, 270 years ago, whatever it was. And that's how the people back then governed themselves before and then during the Revolutionary War. They had committees of safety. As a matter of fact, I mean, Paul Revere was a member of the Committee of Safety, and he was writing to the next counties to warn the other committees that the British were coming. They didn't have faxes back then. They didn't have telephones, but he was on his horse and letting the people know that. So that's in a nutshell what they are, what they're doing. So we know it worked back then, and what they're doing nowadays is working through the counties. We've got a real mess in our hands, and it's certainly not going to be fixed from the top down. We have to do it from the bottom up, and that involves the counties because while you've got the townships are a smaller body in that, the counties have the sheriff, which is a constitutional and a common law office from way, way back. I mean, from the Magna Carta 600 years ago, 700 years ago. The sheriff has a lot of power, and what we have to do is we have to, first off, educate the sheriffs all over the country what his power is, what his duties is, what his responsibilities are. And then the committees of safety are designed to support the sheriff in doing his duties. I mean, it has to go both ways. The sheriff has to be a constitutional sheriff and do his duty. And the people have to support him in that. And that's what the committees of safety are for. So in a nutshell, that's what we're looking at, Steve.
Yes, absolutely. you mentioned John Duresh. I think that's how you pronounce his name.
Correct.
I always heard it as Duresh or something like
Duresh,
that.
Duresh.
Duresh, but
it depends, I guess, where you put the accent, but yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned that the state nationals and the American nationals were looked at.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is my opinion and a lot of others too, but I think that is going to be the single best answer for any of this to become nationals. What they do in the courtrooms is they are running off, I think you said, since 1938. They've been running off of admiralty law instead of common law. They got away with it. And the way to combat that is to correct your status. That's what they're looking for, is your status when you walk into a courtroom, whether you're a citizen, a person, or a resident. you are virtually a slave in their eyes until you become a national. You can claim to be a man or a woman, but as you know, that they've taken those words, they've taken the words of human, and they've taken the words of citizen and persons, and they've skewed them to their advantage. And I wanted to mention also one thing you mentioned about something, but legal and lawful are two different things. And the actual meaning in the Black's Law Dictionary of the word legal, it means to undo God's laws. If you didn't know that, but
it is a battle of language, and you're right, absolutely right there. And I wish sometimes it was that simple. I've been to court a couple times myself. I'm certainly no expert. I've proved that a couple times. But if we could become a state national, if that was the case, and walk into court and click our heels together and declare our status and stuff like that, and if they would say, oh, I'm sorry, we brought you in here, and here's some money for you. I as far as I know, that's not exactly the way it works. It, pretty much they ignore it. So what we're looking for is some way to enforce that. And I guess that's my biggest concern. I'm not arguing that. I don't think John Derish will argue about that. That it's the right thing to do. Guys like that are, or women like that are advocating for that are absolutely right in what they're saying as far as the aberrancy and the words, the birthing canal, the birth, all that stuff, the maritime terms that they use. That's absolutely correct. But the bottom line is that we have to be able to enforce that. And, if you go into court by yourself, chances are they're going to ignore you. That's been my experience. They just ignore you and keep on plowing forward. And this is a really sad state of commentaries we have, affairs we're in nowadays, where the people that are we elect are totally ignoring their constitutional responsibilities, and we become the enemy. And that's what's crazy. We have to be able to enforce this upon our public servants, because they are servants. We pay them. They have to do what we want them to do, and their rule book, their job description is in the Constitution, and they swear to uphold their oath to the Constitution against both enemies, foreign and domestic. And I bet you a dollar, 95% of them have never read those constitutions, whether it be a state constitution,
certainly,
or federal constitution. So how can they know what their duties are when they haven't read it? And even after they read it, a lot of times, the way that the school systems are nowadays, we have to give them an explanation of what it is they're reading. I wish I knew the answer. I remember when I was younger, I knew all the answers. I knew everything, and I sure do miss those days. I don't even know the questions anymore. So, and I'm not being facetious about that. Everything is changing so fast, and the words are changing so fast. The meanings of everything are changing so fast. When they ask you, do you understand something? That has a double meaning on it too. But when you're talking, like I say, legal, there's legal terms and there's lawful terms, and legal is entirely different language. It might as well be Spanish or Latin. What they're saying, what we're understanding, what we're as far as where the meanings go, are two different things.
Correct. But the way I understand it, from what I've studied, over the years, it's been 14 now that I've been doing this, researching and doing it for 10 full podcasting years. Mm-hmm. When you correct your status in their courts, when you correct your status, they pretty much have to, from all of the people that I've seen and talked to that have done this. Once you do correct your status and you are a state national or an American national, they really can't do anything. They can't ignore you anymore.
Gosh, I hope that's correct. I hope that's correct, and I hope that works every time, and I'm not criticizing anybody for anything that they're doing as long as they're trying to do something on the thing. The problem is that I see is that we all have to do this is single people, we the people, and you're going in there alone. That's the problem. I've done different things. Like, we're behind you, and you turn around when wherever meets the road, and by golly, you're alone. And it's disconcerting, to say the least, in the thing. So the advantage of these committees of safety is that it's, as John Derish has said, I'm sure you've heard it many times, it's not the majority that rules, it's the majority that participate that rule. And the other side, the left, whatever you want to call it, the deep state, the swamp, whatever your definition of that is.
The cabal.
Cabal. They're very organized.
That they are.
And they have the media, and I mean, and we're and they work together. I mean, I'm sure they're using our money to pay the way to do that, but they're very organized. And generally speaking, the conservatives, the alliance, the whatever you want to call them, you know, the white hats. I've heard it said many ways. We're being taxed, and our money's being taken for the other side. And at the same time, we're not organized, and we're working mostly as individuals, which is fine. I mean, we're a very individualistic society. But at some point in time, we have to be organized also, and we have to be working as a group. That's what the committees of safety are designed to do. They're in any one county, it takes five people to be a committee. You know, your chair and co-chair and the treasurer and the secretary and then somebody at large. But these committees of safety are designed to have 50, 100, 200, 300 people, depending on the size of the county, obviously, and the population. And then within that, then you can have lots of different subcommittees. But what you first do is get your committee together and get a set of bylaws and get a charter and get a seal. And then what you would do is take that charter and everything, go to the sheriff and explain to him that, you know, you're not against him. We're for the people to obey the law. I mean, this is a totally, totally lawful kind of thing. And our objective is to get these people, individual people that work for us, to abide by the Constitution. And then you're going to have, 50, 80, 100, 200 people showing up at the meetings for the school board, for the county commission, for the city commission, for, you know, zoning, for voting rights. You name it. There's 100 different subcommittees you can have on 100 different problems within each of the counties, and everyone's going to be a little bit different. And at that point in time, you're going to be able to bring a laser focus on those issues and put those people at notice that this is what your responsibilities are. This is what we expect you to do, and we expect you to do it. And if you don't, we'll replace you. And they can do that. A committee of safety, if you got a good organized committee of safety, my understanding is depending on how organized they are, 6 or 8 months, they can basically change a county government by simply replacing the sheriff. He doesn't do his duty, or anybody else. And how you do that, Steve, is every elected official has to take an oath of office, every elected and appointed official. So it's not just elected. They have an oath of office, and they also have to have a bond to hold the office. Now, I'm in construction, and I understand bonds, a performance bond, a bid bond, whatever like that. And a performance bond, how that works, and that's exactly what the office holders have to have, is that a lot of times you bet your house, okay? You bet your house and a pound of flesh nearest your heart that you're going to do what is on the specifications for the job that you got. Now, if you don't, the bonding company will come in and they'll finish it. If you run out of money, if you bid it wrong, they'll come in and finish it and they'll run out of money. But then what they do is they come after your house. They come after any assets you have. And if you lose a bond, if you lose don't have bonding capabilities, you can't bid anything else. Now, if the public officials, the appointed officials lose their bond, they're out. They can't be in office without a bond, and they can never serve again. And so it's a big, big hammer we're swinging on the thing. Now, I'm not threatening anyone, but I mean, they have to do what their oath of office is, and they have to uphold the Constitution. And a lot of things they've been doing, especially with this COVID stuff over the last 3 years, are totally, totally unconstitutional. You know, no emergency gives anybody a right to take away our rights, or anybody authority, I should say, to take away our rights. And that's what's been going on. But it's much bigger than that. It's been going on for decades and decades. And as you're saying, you know, the state nationals, that's certainly one way to try to go about it. Whether it's the total answer or not, I think not so much, because you have to do it individually and not as an organized group. I think that gives you a lot more power, a lot more swing on the thing. So at least that's my thought on the thing.
Right, right. Do you know if John Darish and the NLA has, well, I guess, what kind of success are they having with doing what is being talked about here?
Well, here's the thing. I know that they originally, I talked to John personally, and you know, they started out, you know, trying to get their status corrected. He's done a bunch of different things like that, you know, I mean, and people will give up their driver's license and their passport and their citizenship and all these different things. And as far as success, they filed a bunch of different cases. But that was their plan right from the beginning. I mean, they file cases in the federal court, and pretty much all those things have been ignored. You know, and before the Revolutionary War, the governments, all the different colonies, they weren't states at that time, but they had all put in petitions for redress of grievance, many, many, many of them to King George over the years. All of them were ignored, you know, and they kept on doing that. And finally, they said, you know, we had enough, and they wrote the Declaration of Independence, and they pledged their honor and their lives and their fortunes. And a lot of them lost those things. But what they got was our freedom, and they have a constitution, and we have a Bill of Rights in the Constitution and a Declaration of Independence. And the power we have comes from our Creator. I mean, the Declaration of Independence is a covenant with God, and each one of us is a king.
Yes.
King doesn't ask, a king tells. Does that make sense?
Yes. Do you know of a man named David Strait, David Lester
yes,
Strait?
Yes, I've watched many of his lectures.
Okay.
Yes, I have.
Well, that's what he talks about. I want to go get one of his seminars and become a national, because he talks about, well, that's basically what I was saying earlier. You have to present your status as a national when you go into their courtrooms. Mm-hmm. And, supposedly, I talked to him on the phone one time, and, I'm actually trying to get him out in this area or some area. If he, unfortunately, it's mostly about the money to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And, he has to have so many people at a seminar, whether they're physically there or virtually there, you know, through mm-hmm. Zoom or something, or Skype or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He has to have so many people to commit to a seminar. And that's where I was getting to the entire time. Do you know about the power of the corporation?
Is that a question to me, the power
yes.
of the corporation?
Or? Yeah.
Well, I guess which corporation? You're talking about the Federal Reserve?
Any
corporation?
The corporation itself. Well, I guess it would probably be the, I don't know whether it's going to be the European Central Banks or the...
The Vatican or, yeah.
Yeah, the Vatican. Actually, that's yeah. what I was getting at.
mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was the original corporation and way back when, whatever like that. And the only thing I know for sure is nothing is what it seems. Nothing is what it's portrayed as. That I'm absolutely sure of that. And I would love to know what the real truth is around here. I remember when I was a young kid, I would hear all these things about, you know, reading the Bible or whatever like that. And I went through 8 years of Catholic grade school. I'm a recovering Catholic.
Me too.
Yeah. So, but whatever, I mean, and at that point in time, you go there and say, this is what we believe. Okay. I'm going, okay. But even then, as a young kid, I still remember that they taught us the Ten Commandments, and they had, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery, and then later on it says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. And I'm thinking, gosh, that's funny. They had two commandments for the same thing, okay? Why did they do that? I mean, as an eight-year-old kid, I figured that out, that there was something wrong there, and I wasn't sure what it was until I figured out that adultery was if you adulterate something, you mix it, okay? So, I mean, it was talking about mixing of races as opposed to coveting your wife or your neighbor's wife or whatever like that. But, you know, be that as it may, what a great scam. We'll pray for forgiveness, and then after you die, you give us all your money. We'll pray for you after that so you can get out. You know, I mean, and how many billions and billions of dollars did they have, you know, hundreds of years ago? I mean, what is really truth? With that said, you know, I mean, yes, I think the Catholic Church was the original corporation, and they've branched out from there. You know, whether it's right or it's wrong, I mean, I guess for business entities, probably a corporation is a good thing. You know, but that's all the laws, all the laws that the legislatures pass, all the rules they make are for corporations or government employees. They're not for the individual people. So, I mean, are they unconstitutional? No. For who they apply to, they're probably perfectly right.
Well,
but when they're applying to us, that's wrong.
The question is, which constitution? Everybody knows, I guess that's a logical fallacy, but most mm-hmm. people know that there is, that they think that there's only one constitution, but there isn't. There's the actual constitution that the founders laid out and signed. And then there's the corporate constitution, the one that they serve an oath to, the one that they take an oath to is the corporate constitution.
The organic one, 1871, is that you're speaking
of? Exactly. That's the one that they take an oath to. And they don't have to serve us because they are not taking, they're not taking the oath of the original constitution. They're taking the oath of the corporate constitution.
Well, here's a question I have. Is the only difference between those two, one is for the United States, one is of the United States?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And
United
so
States of
one.
America. United
Pardon?
States for America and the United States of America.
Right. Okay. And the thing about it is, that's fraud, isn't it?
It absolutely is. But it doesn't really matter because they don't recognize us until we correct our status and become a national.
And all I can say, and Steve, I'm not arguing about that at all, and you're probably 100% correct on that. But the bottom line is, we have to be able to enforce it. You know, I mean, and I don't care if it's enforcement through your status or enforcement through the county sheriff on a county level, and when you get enough counties, whether through the state level, enough states to the national level, or however it is, whatever we have to do, we somehow have to enforce that.
Yes.
And whether we do that as a state national or however you want to call
national,
it, or through a committee of safety, I mean, there's got to be an answer, and it can't be just, you know, click your heels together and
absolutely
to you.
Absolutely. You ever heard of a man named Alfred Adask?
That doesn't ring a bell to me.
Well, he did podcasts for years and years and years. He's up there in age, and probably about 5 years ago, he had a stroke. So he's not really able to do his podcast anymore. But I had him on my show very early, like 9-10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He was involved in a court case, and he was being fined $25,000 a day for not complying with something. And he couldn't get a lawyer, couldn't afford one back then because you're getting fined each day. And he was a small businessman. And what he ended up doing was looking into some things of his own. And he got the Black's Law Dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked up meanings.
Mm-hmm.
And he found out that the laws are written in a way that they consider us animals and monsters. They said a person or a citizen is the same as a monster or an animal. And, you know, God gave dominion of man and woman over the earth, over land and animals.
Right,
and that,
right.
And that
beast,
even
beast
includes
field,
monsters.
Yeah.
They're virtually justified in their own courts to be able to do the things that they're doing.
The thing about it is that those courts that we're talking about, they're our courts. You know, they took them over illegally back in whenever, and everything that they've done is been fraud, okay? And fraud, right from the get-go, vitiates everything else. I mean, just because they've had it for, let's say it's 1871, so that's, what, 152 years now?
Uh-huh.
If it's been 152 years, it's still fraud.
Yes.
You know, they can't just say, okay, we've been doing it for 5 years or 10 years or 152 years, and therefore you haven't said anything right now, and we've done everything in our power to keep you stupid. But when we get wise to what they're doing, and enough people get wise to it, then that vitiates everything. And everything that they've stolen got to come back to us. Everything.
Yep. There was also, between David Strait and a few other people, they also, the way I understand it, a county or a township has to unincorporate to be able to do a lot of the things for the good.
Mm-hmm. But here's the thing I always ask people, you know, when they talk about that. You know, I say, okay, you know, I mean, I've heard, for instance, you know, driver's license. You know, you had to always have a driver's license. Well, that's a commercial term, you know, and driving is a commercial term. So if you're driving a taxi, if you're driving a truck, you're hauling other people's produce on the road, you know, other goods on the road, of course you have to have a license, and of course you have to be regulated.
That's right.
But, you know, I mean, if you're traveling in your own vehicle, I mean, and I've heard vehicle is a commercial term too, and all that.
It is.
Conveyance, whatever you want to call it. You know, if you're in your own property, if you got something got four tires on it, whatever like that, or two tires, and you're going down the road, you're traveling down the road, they have no right at all to regulate you whatsoever unless you hurt somebody.
That's right. They have 20 minutes to release you. Otherwise, you're they're liable to you know, in their own
their
commercial
rules,
courts.
Their own,
not the commercial courts. The I'm a loss for the word
the,
right now.
Equity courts, yeah, there, yeah, they're, but yeah, there is it's a admiralty court. All those things are admiralty because it's all commerce. But you're right. You're right. I mean, but they have purposely destroyed our educational system. They purposely, you know, how many times have you heard, well, we're a democracy and our democracy, and that's nowhere in the Constitution. Not one place in the Constitution is the word democracy.
Nope.
And if they keep on saying that, it doesn't make us a democracy. But what they've done is you know, when in their admiralty courts, you know, this is a democracy, but that's not. It's our courts. It's our courts, and we're guaranteed a Republican form of government, not Republican like a party.
A republic.
But a republic, right?
Yeah.
And in republic, if you break that down, it's what I think res is the thing, and publica, which is public, the public thing, which is the law.
Well, the republic. I believe the republic was meant to be a voluntarily type of system. You can voluntarily or consent or not consent to whatever is happening.
Precisely.
That's what my opinion
Precisely.
Is.
Yeah, I agree with 100%. And you know, but the thing is right now is that they're saying, okay, you it's voluntary, but you got to volunteer. And I'm going, hey, what part of that don't you want to? Well, and that's exactly it. And then they say, once you volunteer, then it's mandatory. You know, I mean, so when you find out that it's voluntary and you don't agree with what they're doing, does that mean that once you volunteered, you're stuck with it?
You know what the definition of mandate is? Mandatory?
Say that one more time, please.
You know what the definition of mandate is? The Black's Law Dictionary again. That's their own Bible. Mandate is a corporate order that someone that works for the corporation, a corporation or whatever the case is, a company, they have to capitulate with a mandate. And none of us work for the corporation unless we rescind our birth certificates.
Right. And I mean, even a birth certificate, how old are you when you got a birth certificate? I mean, how can that be a contract if you're only a day old, days old or 5 days old or whatever it is?
That's fraud also.
And a lot of times they're giving them social security numbers at that age. How can that possibly, how can there be a meeting of the minds? Okay. It's impossible.
Well, it's fraud. It's fraud.
And so all the above, they've created fraud. Fraud vitiates everything. And what's happening now is that the people are catching on.
Yeah. Do you know what?
And we're, go ahead.
What most people don't know, it is 100% illegal by federal law to knowingly participate in a fraud.
Yeah.
If you know it's a fraud, it's against the law to participate knowingly.
And what we have to do is, from what I understand again, is, you know, if you ever get hauled into court, it's governed by consent, and that's what it says in the Declaration of Independence. And if you do nothing else, you know, how do you plead? I do not consent.
Right.
I do not consent. Don't ever break off. I don't consent to this. I mean, this is totally unlawful, not illegal, but unlawful. I do not consent. And they're going to get everything. You're going to do everything they can do to get you put some kind of a plea in, you know, I mean, and, you know, even hauled into court. You know, I've heard people say, well, don't cross the bar. If they haul you in and chains and stuff like that, it's kind of hard not to. Okay. But you still don't consent. Now they're going to beat snot out of you. They're going to do everything they can possibly do. They're going to threaten you. But I have heard people saying that they keep on saying, I don't consent. I don't consent. And they eventually let them go.
See, that's their tactic, is browbeating, intimidation.
Right. Sure. Nobody wants to be the odd person out. Okay. So, odd people, odd human out. I gotta be careful what I'm saying, because person has a whole other legal meaning than the man or woman on the thing. But everybody wants to comply. Everybody wants to be part of the group.
Sure.
We're social animals anyway.
Sure.
You know, and so, I mean, how many times you get your vaccine. You know, you can't do this without a vaccine. And I'm going, A, it's not a vaccine. It's a death shot. And B, go pack sand someplace. You know, I mean, no.
Go pound sand. Yeah. I like to say pound sand. I had a guest on one time. He was trying to get his story out there, and his story sounded a little fishy to me. So he was from Australia. Mm-hmm. And he was living, I don't know where he was. He was like in like Korea or something like that, because he had a sketchy story. And mm-hmm. I had a friend that actually lives in Australia. And, he called a friend of his. He was a federal police officer, and he had him look this guy up, and he says, we don't have any warrants out on him. And this guy claimed his story was, they threatened to arrest me. Well, mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they can threaten to arrest you all day long. But if they have no case, they can't arrest you.
Well, they can certainly put you in custody.
Well,
yeah, it was interesting. I know some people that were arrested for the January 6th thing, and you talk about January 6th, but I was down there. I wasn't inside the building, but I was down there, and I can guarantee you this. There's a couple of different things. When I got back to Kalamazoo from down in D.C. the next morning, before I listened to any radio, before I watched any TV or anything like that, I sat down and wrote out everything I could think of that I saw down there that made sense, didn't make sense, just facts as I saw them. I remember them before I had any influence from all things. And I bet you a dollar, and I could say this honestly, I bet you 99% of the people down there, and there's a lot of people down there, had no idea that anybody was inside that Capitol building, none whatsoever. Uh-huh. I didn't.
Well, that was a sham anyways. I mean, it's already coming out that was an FBI sting.
Right, right. You know, and in Michigan here, I mean, it's the same kind of thing. They had the thing with Governor Whitmer, and they were going to kidnap her. What, over half the people involved in that thing were FBI paid agents?
Six of them, yeah.
Yeah, well, whatever, like that, you know. But I mean, how can that not be entrapment?
Well, it is. That's all they have is lies and deceit. That's all they have.
It's a pretty sad commentary on.
Do you remember
what's going on here.
I'm sure you must remember the first World Trade Center bombing in 1993, don't you?
Yeah, when they blew up the basement on that thing.
Blew up the basement. That was an Arab, and it turns out it came out in court, and they paid him hush money and shut it all up and never reported on it. But what actually happened was he was set up by the FBI, and they thought he was stupid enough to go through with it, and he ended up coming out, and they blew up the basement anyways. They tried to anyways.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, how many times have you, I mean, entrapment, whatever like that? I mean, in Arkansas, what do they call about all the people that were involved with the Clintons that died down there, you know what I mean? Any number of things like that. The Waco thing, what went on?
Yeah.
My heart bleeds when I'm thinking of the kids and stuff like that, you know. And
I find it quite interesting that the only four ATF agents that died that day just happened to be Clinton bodyguards at one time.
So everything just, you know, but nothing is accidental in politics.
No,
nothing.
Not at all.
And so
also,
if it happens, you pretty much guarantee that it was meant to be that way. So. It was Abraham Lincoln said, I'm pretty sure he was talking about that. He says,
well, that was Roosevelt also.
Roosevelt, yeah, Roosevelt. But Abraham Lincoln, I think he said something about building a cabin. He says, you know, if you're out in the middle of nowhere and all of a sudden somebody shows up with a bunch of logs and other people show up with axes and stuff like that, and they put together a cabin out in the middle of nowhere, whatever it wasn't an accident. It was planned that way.
Right. And Franklin Roosevelt said, if it happens in politics, it was not an accident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I mean, and we're talking, it's really interesting as far as, you know, how things happen. It happens because of the money, and they've captured the money. They captured that back in 1913. But, you know, they talk about slavery. Many people talk about slavery, and I mean, that's certainly nothing new. It's been going on for thousands of years. You know, the blacks in Africa were mostly singled out, but before that, I mean, the Irish, I mean, they were a lot more slaves than Irish descent than
anyone
else.
Yes, there was.
But what they figured out that is slaves are expensive. They're, you know, you got to take care of them and stuff like that. And it's much, much, much better and much more efficient to have wage slaves instead of regular slaves. In other words, you know, they get something and they have you working, and you're working for whatever you agree.
You're
to
talking
work
about
on.
Tax, right? Yeah,
but, but I mean, when you're working, you're trading your time for something like that. But you know, they'll basically you're a wage slave.
Yes.
You are. If you define that, you know, and you're taking care of yourself. And when they take money out of you, and they maybe give it back later on as a pension or whatever like that. I mean, and all these things are good. Don't get me wrong, but we're wage slaves. We're slaves. We're just wage slaves. And
that's
much more efficient from that aspect of it.
That's what the Act of 1871 did. Before 1871, only corporations paid taxes. People didn't really have to pay that. They paid their local. County and state taxes, township, county, and whatever, but they didn't pay federal taxes. The Act of 1871 made that happen. They gained millions and millions of taxpayers when they did that.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I haven't heard that before, but it makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you ever heard the story about Aaron Russo and Nick Rockefeller?
Aaron Russo rings a bell, but I'm not sure what it's all about. But Noble, go ahead.
He did some documentaries before he died in 2009. He did some in the 90s and the early 2000s. One was Freedom to Fascism.
Mm-hmm.
And he said there was a Nick Rockefeller, and of course nobody can confirm this now because it's probably wiped from the internet, but he says a Nick Rockefeller befriended him, and this Nick Rockefeller was talking to him about the feminism movement. Mm-hmm. He said, "Do you know why feminism was started?" And Aaron said, "No, not really." He says, "Well, we at that time could not tax the women because there were very, very, very few women in the workforce in the 20s and 30s, mm-hmm. and even 40s." And he said, "Once the feminine movement came along, women started working by the millions and millions, and we gained taxpayers and we gained money."
Now, this Nick Rockefeller you're talking about, I'm assuming he's one of the Rockefellers from Nelson Rockefeller. And
supposedly, yes. I mean, like I said, nobody's been able to confirm it because it's been wiped from the internet. But the interview with Aaron Russo is out there on the internet that anybody can find.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, nothing surprises me. It's pretty sad insofar as with the mainstream media nowadays is that whatever they say, whatever you hear on TV, whatever like that, if you watch TV, whatever they say, probably you take 180 degrees opposite, and it's probably the truth. But, you know, it might be 170 degrees, whatever like that. And that's pretty sad because you don't know what to believe. You don't know who to believe.
Right.
You know, and you see it on the internet. That's the old joke. You know, it's got to be true. I heard it on the internet. You know, I mean, I'm going, you know, well, maybe it's 80% true or 90% true. You know, how about the 10%? What is that 10% or 20% that's not true? What is that going to do to you if you listen to that? Okay.
Uh-huh.
Does it make sense?
Yeah.
We're being played. That's for darn sure.
Yes, we are. It's all about the words and semantics and this and that and the other.
Mm-hmm. Like I say, I wish at one time I knew all the answers. Now I don't even know the questions. And I'm really not being facetious when I say that. You know, I make no claim to having any great knowledge. I know what I know, but the problem is sometimes it's not true what you think you know. So
getting back to the National Liberty Alliance,
mm-hmm.
Have you mentioned, I don't know if you have or not, but have you mentioned grand juries or common law courts?
Common law courts are going to come back when you have to bring common law back to the counties. And that starts with the sheriff. And the sheriff, and a lot of people don't understand that, but he is the highest law enforcement officer in a county.
Yes.
And what he says in that county goes in that county. That's what he's elected to do. I mean, if the governor comes into the county, the FBI, the IRS, the EPA, whatever it is from the national level, state level, they come in and start harassing his citizens, his constituents. He can tell them, you know, leave.
Yeah.
You're going to see the inside of my jail.
Yep.
And now when he does that, he has to have the support of the people. That's what the committees of safety are for. Okay. So he's going to protect us. He's going to intercede in between us. I'm trying to think of there's a definite word for that, where he has to step in between us and the powers that be of the government that are trying to rule over us.
Yes.
But that's his job. Now, he can only do that when he has the support of the people. Okay. So that's what the committee of safety is designed to do. But when you have a committee of safety, you're going to have the common law. You're going to get rid of the Bar Association, being the original 13th Amendment, which was from 1819, somewhere in that vicinity, 1811. It basically
lawyers.
Banned anyone that was
lawyers couldn't be in government.
Right. Title abilities, they couldn't serve in a government.
Lawyers couldn't be in government.
That was wiped out by the time the Revolution or Civil War came around, and they replaced it with a different one. But you know, the bar attorneys cannot serve in government. Period. And 85% or 90% of the people that are running a government are lawyers.
Yep.
Now, you know, they've sworn an oath to the Bar Association. And what is that? British Accredited Registry, I think, is what that stands for. But
yep.
I mean, it has no place in our court systems. None. Now, in a court of equity, even a court of equity, they have to follow the laws of the common law, the rules of the common law. Now, I'm not saying that you know, you can have corporations and maybe that's a great thing, but you know, those laws apply to them. Okay, that's for us to regulate them and the people that we send to those legislatures and the judges and stuff like that and the executives are supposed to enforce those laws upon them. They're not, and with the Committee of Safety, where you're gonna get the lawyers out of the courts, you're gonna make the courts abide by the common law, and that's gonna be done through the sheriff. I'm not saying we can just click our heels together, snap our fingers, but I mean when we get organized on a county level, it will happen. It will happen, and then you're gonna do this through the National Liberty Alliance. They're having training for jury administrators, grand jury administrators. Basically, it's really interesting, and I never really knew this until about 25 years ago. I read a book by Red Beckman about the juries. But we have three votes. We have the vote in the ballot box, we have the vote in the jury box, and we have the vote in the grand jury box. And those people that we send to write the codes and stuff like that for the commercial entities, they don't have any authority to rule over the people. And so we get to judge the laws that they enact. And we do that through the grand jury and the petit juries. Now, in a grand jury, if they bring charges against somebody, they'll bring somebody in, and the grand jury has absolute power to investigate also. But the sheriff is supposed to bring in charges to the grand jury, and the grand jury investigates it, and then they vote yes or no. And I believe in the grand jury, it's a majority vote in the grand jury if they can put out a true bill, which is an indictment. And then that is taken to court. But in a court, an independent jury, it has to be 12-0 or 13-0. There has to be unanimous, or the person walks free, and he's innocent. He or she is innocent until proven guilty.
Yep.
And I think that's another thing that's interesting. You know, do you prove guilty or not guilty? No, it's innocent. I'm already innocent right now. You know, I mean, and I challenge your jurisdiction on the thing. That's what's going on in the thing. So we get to vote on the ballot box. And the Committee of Safety is going to make sure that we have paper ballots that we can be counted by hand. We get to vote in the grand jury box, where we go in and investigate all these people and what's going on. And we can, in a grand jury, we can go in and investigate anything and anytime, any place we want. That's our grand jury.
Yep.
And it's not legislative, it's not judicial, it's not executive. That's the people's box.
Yep.
It's totally irrelevant what the courts think on that thing. We do what we want in those grand juries.
Yep. It was about, I don't know, maybe 2014, 2015. I had a sheriff on from a local county about 30 miles away from me in northern Indiana, Elkhart County, actually.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Brad Rogers. Have you ever heard of his story?
Yeah, that's one. Is he the one that told the FDA to leave that Amish guy alone down there? Doing this horrible thing of selling unpasteurized milk?
Yep, that's exactly right. They were selling raw milk, and they were going to arrest the Amish farmer, and he told the FDA to go pound sand.
Good for him. But that's what has to happen. That's exactly what has to happen. And I don't know why more people are. I guess we're just dumbed down, but more people aren't aware of that.
Well, I don't think it's dumbed down. I think it's fair myself. You know, I think it's just fair.
Well, I'm certainly not going to argue about that. You know, I mean, I personally, you know, especially when this COVID thing started, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that. I says, you know what? I refuse to live in fear. And fear is a horrible, horrible thing. That'll make you sick. I don't know if people realize
that. Sure, it will. Oh, I got another little thing I can share with you. It's been scientifically proven that when somebody is in a state of fear or anxiety, they cannot think correctly, cannot think critically at all.
Yeah, I don't doubt that a bit. It was interesting, because I talk about that, about attitude, you know, and I firmly believe this. Attitude is an attitude. I choose to be happy. There are so many things we have to be thankful for. There is. And we can concentrate, and we can be so much aware of the bad things. But there's a lot of people, even in our worst days, that would trade us even up just in a second. You know that?
Sure. Absolutely.
And so attitude is an attitude. Now, you know, and it's even your tone of voice. You know, you could say, well, what do you think about that? And you say, well, or you could say, you know, well, you know, hey, how about them Braves? Okay. I mean, you can, it's just your attitude and your voice and the tone of your voice and the inflection in your voice changes people's attitudes. It makes them smile.
Sure, it does. It does.
You know what I mean? And a lot of people, you know, gosh, we got all this woe is me and stuff like that. I says, come on. You know, we outnumber these idiots 150-1.
10,000-1.
Yeah. Like,
actually,
we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is there?
No matter where they go, they're surrounded, aren't they?
538 people. That's all there is.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, those are the idiots, the useful idiots in most cases that we send to the Congress and that and stuff like that. Well, for every one of them, there's another 500 or 600 or 1,000, whatever like that, or that are these unelected, appointed, whatever like that, bureaucrats that are actually running things behind the scenes. Because I don't think any of those people that are elected there are really running things. I mean, whoever is running the presidential office right now, it certainly isn't Mr. Biden, because I mean he doesn't know what day it is. Okay.
Well, a lot of us actually think that he may not even be alive and hasn't been alive for about 3 years.
I've heard that too.
Have you seen all of the pictures? They have either got an actor or somebody's wearing a mask or something. Because they can't even.
An actor is a bad actor, isn't it?
Very. Terribly bad.
But, you know, but all this stuff is coming out. I mean, you can only hide it for so long. And when it does come down, and it is, it's coming and falling fast. I mean, I've talked to people about that before, and they say, well, you know, what can we do? I says, well, most of these people that are in running, you know, the either elected or appointed officials, whatever I get, a lot of them are blackmailed. A lot of them are bought off.
So true.
You know, but the bottom line is, if they're bought off with this money that the Federal Reserve is putting out there, at what point in time, and this money is losing value like a stone right now. I mean, it's all confidence. Yeah. It's a confidence game, and it's losing money like a stone. When that money is not worth anything, who's going to be bribed for money that's not worth anything?
Yeah.
I mean, you think about that for a second. I mean, they're killing the goose that laid the golden egg.
Did you ever see I think it was the original Godfather movie?
Never watched that. I never watched that. And that was what, 50 years ago, something like that. But I never watched that.
1972, I believe. Mm-hmm. 51, 52 years ago, somewhere in there. Yeah. There's a scene actually in this movie where the Corleone family, the father, Vito, that was his name, mm-hmm. Vito Corleone, he pretty much set up a politician. It was a fictional politician, of course, but they drugged him or something like that, put him in a room with an underage girl and showed the you know, took film of it, had mm-hmm. actual film and pictures and all this stuff. And the come time that they wanted something, and this politician said no, and they took him off in the back room and showed him all these pictures and film and stuff like that, and he had to go out and vote the way they wanted him to. And that's pretty much what they have done over probably over 100 years or so since the advent of film and pictures and all that.
Well, I'm sure they've done that. But nowadays, they could through the computer generated stuff like that, they could take these things apart and put it back together. You can't even trust pictures anymore.
No, you can't. you certainly cannot. They could make just about virtually anyone do anything they want with all of the computer technology.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And, you know, and that's a horrible thing, but it's also into our advantage. I mean, it's really interesting. A lot of people don't understand this, but like in Chinese, I haven't heard this before. In the Chinese kanji, the Chinese characters, problem and opportunity is the same character.
Right. Huh. That's interesting.
You know, because everything is a problem. It's an opportunity. You know, and do you see things, if you're an optimist, you see things as an opportunity. If you're a pessimist, you see things as a problem. Okay.
Sure.
And so, I mean, this is a great opportunity for us. What an amazing time to be alive. Do you realize there's people, I mean, hundreds of years ago, thousands of people years ago, people were just, they would give anything to be alive right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we're experiencing it.
Yep.
You know, and good, bad, or indifferent, okay? Good, bad, or indifferent. We're here.
There's Obama's former, I don't know what he was, Secretary of State or something. His name was Rahm Emanuel.
Yeah,
there's a YouTube out there that says, we can never, or we should never waste a good opportunity.
Yeah, well, a good crisis.
That's what it was.
Yep. And they make them, okay? You know,
They're called false flags.
False flag, whatever. I mean, that's done all the time. And it's been done all the time, you know what I mean? So, you know, nothing surprises me. And I believe maybe 10% what I see and certainly almost nothing what I see on TV. And, I mean, and I hope people will not even take me for face value here on the radio program here. But, you know, what I'm saying makes sense, you know, and investigate it. And if it doesn't make sense, ignore it. Okay. But I mean, if it makes sense to you, say, yeah, that could be right. Investigate this thing and say, yeah, by golly, he is right. And, and then do something, act upon it.
Yeah. I think the actual quote was that, Emmanuel said is never let a good crisis go to waste.
That was it. Yep. But they manufacture the crisis too, okay? And then they and they masquerade as the answer to that crisis. I mean, that goes way back. I've been studying this stuff.
Yes.
Gosh, I mean,
you know what the Latin is? You know what the Latin for that is? Well, the English terms are problem, reaction, solution, but the Latin terms are what is it?
Synthesis, antithesis,
I don't remember what they are now. Yeah.
That was Marx, and said Marx has said that, but I'm sure it came way before that. You know, he wasn't that smart. Yeah. He was just a dummy of being paid. So, but but yeah, you know, that's been the rule for centuries. Is, you know, I mean, they divide us and they conquer us, and they get us fighting amongst each other. You know, it's not black against white. It's not men against women. It's not young against old. It's not gay against straight or whatever like that.
Never has been.
You know, I've got friends of all races. I've got friends of all sexual orientation, you know, I mean, and they're good friends. You know, I don't care who you sleep with. I mean, I don't agree with it, but but I mean, just because you're a different color than I am, or you think differently than I am, I mean, we all have the same rights.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, that's not something to fight over. Now, you mess around with me and try to take away my rights, I'm going to resist, and so should everyone.
Yep. Well, I made a post on Facebook yesterday, actually, and I got bunches of, dissenting comments because they thought it was something else, and they know it because it was on Wikipedia, and you know, it's virtually the policing industry was invented back in the 1700s for crowd control. Obviously a lot of people, I don't know if you have, but the term tarred and feathered, you know that term. Well, there was actually a time in America and all over the world, in Europe for the most part, whenever a politician would go against his word, and it was mainly for politicians, and then it became for business people and this, that, and the other, but somebody that looked at you cross-eyed or whatever. But initially, the pastors or the clergymen of the area would be the ones that would follow the politicians, and the sheriffs would do this too, and they would be the first in line at the head of the mob to tar and feather somebody, both the sheriff and the clergy. And, you know, they invented the policing system to combat that. And then they started taking sheriff's powers away, and they took the clergy's powers away too.
Right. You know, it's interesting. And I was going to mention this before I talk about the marriage license and tar and feathering and going back and everything. At some point in time, if you go back, they didn't have a marriage license. You know, I mean, if you go back in the Bible, do you think Adam and Eve had a marriage license?
No, that was back that was only in the 30s and 40s when they started doing this.
Right. And at some point in time, they never had a birth certificate. That was just recorded in the family Bible, okay?
Yes.
You didn't have a marriage license. You didn't have a birth certificate. You didn't have a Social Security card. I mean, you had none of those things. And we just got along just fine, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was a good thing when they started to invent driver's training courses, because the accident rate back in the beginning of cars and stuff was horrendous. People just didn't know. But
you know, what side of the road do you drive on? I mean, that's common sense.
It's yeah.
You know, one time I remember, and I wasn't sure what county it was, but this was back in the 20s or 30s, whatever like that. But you drove into a county, whatever county that was, and they had a big billboard there that says, you know, we don't have enough money to patrol the roads, you know, so please drive safely, okay?
Yeah.
Not, you know, and the roads were rutted and stuff like that. You know, they could drive 70 miles an hour anyway. You know, they finally paved them and smoothed them out and stuff like that. People started going faster. But, I mean, I've seen pictures of the old Model Ts running through the ruts of the mud all the way up to the running boards and stuff like that. I'm going, holy smokes, how would you know, I mean, get through that on a horse? Or you got through that in a old Model T or something like that. Can you imagine trying to walk and stuff like that? I mean, I remember my mom was saying, she would have been 100 years old now, but she was, when they were growing up, and they had to walk about 2 miles to church.
Yeah.
And, you know, they put on their best clothes, they could do it, you know, but they try to get through there, get out, getting all muddy, you know, and then walk back. I mean, what a godsend the car was at that point in time.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? It was... Things have changed. They changed for the better, you know. I mean, but everything that is good can also be a bad thing, you know. I mean, and if every problem is a nail, every tool is a hammer, you know what I mean? So
yeah, I lost an aunt that I never even knew existed until I don't know 15 years or so ago, because she had an accident back in like 1952 and died in the accident. So
Well, I mean, you got that. I mean, how many people? I lost an uncle in the Second World War. My dad got shot up in the Second World War. I mean, there's people I never met either, you know. But I mean, and it's a shame because I mean the best ones are the ones that go. They're the ones that lose. Okay.
Yeah.
And so I mean, I know my mom and Uncle Eddie that got killed. He was a valedictorian in high school and stuff like that. And he was killed and he was a navigator on one of the bombers, you know. But I mean, what a waste! What an absolute waste! And he didn't hate anybody. I'm sure of that. Okay.
Yep.
But I mean, there's another. I lost a relative. Okay. And for no reason. And people die all the time. That's the only way we're going to get off this planet is to die. That doesn't bother me, you know. But I mean, you know, there's no sense wasting us. How's that sound?
Yeah. Well, John, I know we talked earlier about doing 30 minutes, but we've actually got about 57 minutes right now. So,
okay.
This
has been fun.
Way
this
over an fun. Hour, that's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, not quite over an hour, but way over half an hour anyways. But, is there anything you'd like to?
I told you once you fired me up, I would get going.
Yeah, exactly. Would you like to say anything for about a minute or so or any kind of last word or?
Well, I tell you, as far as the Committee of Safety and the National Liberty Alliance, and this was kind of, I was supposed to talk about National Liberty Alliance. I think, you know, a lot of people complain that, well, there's nothing I can do. National Liberty Alliance through the Committee of Safety, I think that's something we can do. We can do it together. We can do it as an organization and it can be very, very powerful. And designed to do it in every county. I know this Saturday we're having a meeting in just north of Kalamazoo County. I'm going to try to bring about 8 or 10 counties together, people from different counties, and we're going to have an organizational meeting. This can be done. This can be done in any county, anywhere in the country is listening in on this thing. And if you have any questions, if you just type in National Liberty Alliance on your computer, on Google or whatever like that, it'll come up. They have a great website there. They have a ton of information. They have a ton of free courses. Things you can read and inform yourself. I've been doing this for a long time, and there's so much I learned there on that website that I never even knew. And so there's just a huge amount of information there. So I would encourage everyone to do that. And also, one last thing, on Monday nights, they have their call-in show. They've had that for 15 years now. And you can either call in on the phone, and it's the area code 602-609-9417, and you can just listen in, or you can get on a computer on their website, and it shows you how to get on there in your computer, and you can listen on the computer and follow along when he's going on the screen. He'll share a screen with you so you can see where he's navigating to on the website. But lots of information, and we need information. We need courage. We need prayers, and we need to do something. We can't just stand back, because if you do nothing, you're going to get exactly what you had before, which is nothing, and right now that's not working too well for us.
Yeah, absolutely right. And I'll provide the website and the telephone number to the chats whenever I do go live and whenever I do play this. But I want to thank you for coming on, and I hope to be able to get some other people on that do a little bit more. I mean,
yeah,
that actually call themselves or consider themselves associated with the National Liberty Alliance, and I do want to get active myself. So,
well, we try. Well, that's the only thing we can do is try. You know, and uh-huh. I'm nobody's here. I don't think anybody's here. But we just got to act, grow up here. Okay, I mean, come on.
Yeah. Well,
be a man and stand up to it. I've got grandchildren. I'm thinking, what kind of a life am I leaving for them if I don't do something?
That's right. That's one thing Alex Jones has said before. You know, he's got children right now, but he says, if I get to be a grandfather, if they haven't killed him or whatever, he says, I've often wondered what I would tell a grandchild or a great-grandchild what I did to keep us from where we're at right now. And, you know, it's that's I don't even have children or grandchildren, but that was a profound statement. What are you going to do about this? Are you just going to sit back and clap like a monkey, or are you going to do something?
Yeah, I'm convinced we have to do something. We have to do something, and I don't want to waste my effort, and I'm not a violent person. I'm not advocating violence. I think we have to do this without violence, and that's what the problem is. They're trying to divide us and get us fighting amongst each other.
Yes.
We got to see where the real problem is and eliminate this. We got to make them obey their oath of office, and that's what the NLA is trying to do. So,
yes.
Steve, thank you.
Thank you for coming on.
All right. Appreciate it.